Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Inner and Outer Reality, In Reality and Outside. I'm your host, Sean Penalver, and with us today we have...
Ryan McGee.
Ryan McGee. Ryan, to dive in deep with the broad questions, what do you think about life? What are your thoughts? What do you think life is, or your meanings, or...
I think a lot of it has to do with perspective. Like, understanding your own perspective and being able to see things from other people's perspective.
Yeah.
And... yeah. Just realizing that you have your own perspective, but it's not the same as other people's, yeah. And just kind of keeping that understanding in balance.
Because we all see reality different. Even though we're all within the same reality, I would say that we live within our own surrealities, where things are just like the way that we perceive them, you know, way that we have learned them to be.
Yeah.
Do you have like a meaning of life besides that? Like,
I mean, I guess a lot of it is kind of like constant, like, self-improvement.
Yeah. Well, for the ones who choose that, you would hope that it is that, but it's not always the same for
them. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, for me personally, it's just, like, always trying to improve yourself. And like I said, you know, like taking care of yourself, your mental health, and, like, that, you know, that's part of it. That's a big thing. Yeah. You know, and, you know, just, you know, connecting with other people, like, not necessarily trying to be everybody's friend or whatever, but, like, whatever relationships you do have, you know, try to cultivate those and, you know, maintain the good ones, weed out the bad ones.
Yeah. And also acknowledge why there are bad interactions, you know, and what you personally can do about them, even though it's not always within your control, you know. Sometimes it's the opposite party that is being toxic or anything, but, like, how can we progressively learn how to handle that well, you know, like, and love each other? Because, like, how do we show mercy and how do we show love to each other, and especially to people who are hateful and who are, you know, just either willingly or unconsciously just being terrible, you know, like...
Yeah.
Something that crossed my mind driving here was I got cut off by a guy. And, like, I was, like, you know, in my head, I was like, oh, you idiot, I hate you, go die. But then, like, it changed into, like, oh, I hope you get better. You know, like, I hope you do better. Instead of, like, hating this person, it's just, like...
Yeah, just do better.
Yeah, I hope you learn. Like, I don't hate you, but I do hope the best for you. I hope that you no longer are like this in the future.
I hate what you did.
Yeah. And so, like, how can we, as a society, progress more into that? I think that that is the healthier way, but it's difficult, you know, because, like, rage just makes you want to rage.
Like, again, I think it's, like, a lot to do with perspective, because it's, like, a lot of times, like, you can take a lot of things, like, personal, like, if somebody does, you know, cuts you off, or, like, even if somebody is, like, rude to you or whatever, you think that they're, like, singling you out, like, being specifically rude to you, but they could just be, like, a rude person, just like some people are just shitty or whatever, and just, like, keeping that perspective, it's like, you know, bad things can happen to you, but, like, again, like, you can still control, like, your reaction to that, those things.
Yeah, how you perceive it and how you respond. And
Because,
so just, I mean, once you start to get upset and angry, like, literally the chemicals in your brain make you stupid. Like, you act irrationally and you do dumb things, you know, and then once you come back, hopefully, you're a little regretful, you know, but, like, some people aren't.
But, yeah, you know, like, anger is, like, a real thing, and, like, you're entitled to feel angry and stuff. Like, you're supposed to feel angry, but, just how you process it and, like, you know, not necessarily take it out on other people, and not also not like necessarily beat yourself about it, but you know, but just realize, you know, you are angry and like this is a shitty situation or whatever.
And how do you move through that healthily rather than be destructive or self-destructive, like you said?
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, it, for some people it's almost impossible, but I would say that it is possible. You just gotta, you gotta work for it. You gotta both be present with yourself and also be willing to want that. And like when you're unable to do it, to be open to asking for help, even though that it is so difficult in the worst times to just reach out and ask for help, because like you feel you're at your worst, you know, you're at your most vulnerable, and it's just like super difficult because like what if you reach out and ask and then suddenly it's just like now worse, or now you're being judged for it. But like I would always recommend just reaching out, and like anyone listening, like if you ever are in that position of just like you don't know who to reach out to or why you're reaching out or what, like literally just reach out to me and I'll work with you and do what I can, you know, and we'll get through it together. We're all in this together, you know. Where do you think consciousness comes from?
I think it's like something our you know, it's like what our brains do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know, yeah, I guess like you're like everything that has life has, yeah, I guess, yeah, everything that has life has like different levels of like consciousness, yeah, like,
and how it can react.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, like plants don't, I don't think they like think about like themselves like as far as like self-awareness, but they're like aware of their environment, like they grow towards the light, and they, their roots like look for water and stuff, like it's,
they feel like a biological, they react.
Yeah, yeah, they, so it's like that, we're, yeah, we're just kind of like another level of that same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, like, I guess, you know, different animals have different levels of, you know, self-awareness of, you know that they're alive, know that they want things, know that they exist to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And they try to preserve their existence for, you know, as long as they can.
I think it feeds into, like, brains. And so, like, there are things that have, like, brains, and they're able to use those brains to realize their own consciousness and be able to affect the environment more or interact. And so like when you have things like plants or even like wood, you know, like, or your phone or anything, like they're still made of matter. It's still all a bunch of atoms and particles together, and all these particles and atoms are just energy, which energy is the greatest form of life, you know, like. And so when you look at stuff like slime mold or things that don't have brains, but are still able to live and function, you know, especially like many sea creatures, you know, that just don't have...
Fucking jellyfish, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and jellyfish sleep, and they might even dream. So, like, what is that like, you know, without a brain? And it's just fascinating to think that, like, our brains really only help us just... to see reality, because your eyeballs are basically just extensions of your brain that are being pushed out of your skull, essentially. And so, like, your eyes are just your brain visualizing its reality.
Also, it's like a certain level of just, like, electrical signals, too. Like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, yeah.
And then depending on how those electrical signals are reacting depends on, like, how you function within this reality.
Yeah.
Because, like, we all, like...
Yeah, brain chemicals and all that. Yeah,
and all it's all different for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's nice being outside in the rain. I haven't recorded a podcast in rain yet.
Yeah. And I like that sound. Yeah, it's a nice calming.
Where do you think we're headed in the future? Or where would you like to see things go?
What one problem I have, I think, with society, I think one problem I do see is tending to let our technology do our thinking for us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, there, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, automation and, like, especially, like, with, like, artificial intelligence and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's a certain degree that it can help us, but part of what makes us human is, like, our ability to think and, like, choose things for ourselves. So I feel like, yeah, the level of technology, yeah, like, the level of technology, like, we're the ones that create technology, mm-hmm. and, like, when we start letting the technology, it's almost like we're letting technology take over, like,
yeah.
we're giving ourselves up to technology, yeah. almost, like, but we can still
succumbing to the singularity, essentially.
But I think the problem is, like, we're not taking an active role in, like, our relationship to our technology as far as, like,
I agree.
Being in control of it.
Yeah. The relationship with humanity and technology is, like, let's say 70 years ago, before technology was, like, a big thing as it is, it's like, all through the thousands of years that humans have been around, it's like, it used to be such a, if you could remember things and you could plan things out and you could think for yourself, like, that was such a, like, that's how you survived. Like, that is how you made it and you passed on your evolutions. But now, literally, the internet is there to remember everything for you. And so it's like, people now are just so much forgetful. They don't remember or retain things as well as they used to, you know?
Yeah.
And then also, I agree with just the relationship between technology, because if we're getting closer to where, like, we're letting AI make these decisions for us and everything, then we need better AI rights. We need to basically, like, and I address this one literally with every podcast, that about, like, how humans right now, like, we need to be there for each other before we can even address those things, because, like, now we have racism and sexism and classism and all these things that divide us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when let's say an AI program eventually becomes sentient or similar to a human, if it understands, like, how we treat each other or how we treat AI, it's going to retaliate, you know, or it's going to do whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't even really imagine what it's going to do. Same thing with, like, now that Neuralinks are becoming a thing, to where, like, we can use our minds more, or maybe connect our minds potentially, you know, like, and be able to communicate telepathically or digitally telepathically, you know. What if it gets to the point where, like, humans and animals that have these neural links are able to communicate with each other? Like, let's say that we can talk with dogs, or we can talk with smart animals like dolphins or something like that, and they understand, they learn history, right? And they see how they've been treated in the past by, like, all this humanity basically treating them as pets, you know?
Yeah.
Because humans have a way of just being like, we're the master of everything, we're the master race and yada yada, but we're not. Like, we're the master race, I would say, is existence. Is literally, like, what I call the funk, you know? It creates all of us. It's what we're all made out of, literally the matter, like, down to the what I call the funk level, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, I think that's one of the biggest problems with also society, is, like, thinking that we're not a part of nature.
Yeah. Because we are. We come from it.
Yeah, and like, but, like, the way growth is, and, like, in the city, it's like, you know, we keep going towards, like, this exponential growth, which is entirely unsustainable.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, cultivating, like, an ecosystem where everything's in balance, and, you know, there's limits to things. Like, you can't just keep growing exponentially. Like, you grow to a limit and then you stop, because otherwise there'd be no resources. Like,
yeah. And that's why it's like, you have to be there to raise everything up together, socially. It's like, an example I could give is, like, how after, I can't remember, probably World War II or one of the wars, America basically went into Japan and was like, okay, we're going to help you out. We're going to bring in democracy and capitalism and basically save your country. And so things worked, you know, pretty well. Like, everything started suddenly booming financially, you know, with capitalism, because of all these new policies. But then it's not a lasting thing, you know? And so suddenly all these prophets, you know, became out of control, and it divided the classes, like, just yeah. like it, here in America. And it, you know, divided their country even more. And so it's like, we see that capitalism just is not a well-functioning machine. Yeah. And so it's like, you have to have all you can't lean to an extreme side of any of these things. You can't go full capitalism. You can't go full socialism. You can't go full communism. You have to find the seesaw, delicate balance of all of them, you know? Yeah. But some people are too focused on the bad parts of history to, like, try any new change with, like, some people hear communism and they're like, oh, no, we could, communism's terrible, it's bad, yeah. it's bad. But it's not, it's like, about the community.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just, like, if it didn't, yeah. Yeah, the important thing is, like, about, like, understanding, like, history is, like, understanding, like, why things failed or why things worked. Yeah. And, like, when we try to repeat it, like, you know, taking into account, like, the circumstances that, you know, they were created in the past and the circumstances that we're in now is, like, it's different, so you have to account for that sort of change.
Yeah, and then try again.
And, know? Yeah, and so, like, yeah, communism may have failed, you know, for a number of different reasons, but, like, that doesn't mean, like, it can't do better in the past or, like, better now. And the same thing with capitalism. Like, you know, there's certain things about it that work, but there's certain things that aren't working.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you change the things that aren't working, like that.
Exactly. It's like, why like, it's
got to be a constant reevaluation. Yes,
I agree.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, so many people are like, no, we can't make change because that would change our, what's on paperwork, our numbers on paperwork.
It's supposed, yeah, that's the thing. Things are supposed to change.
It's just, like, one of my bosses was just like, these rules were put in place for a reason. And it's like, yes, I understand that completely. Rules are sometimes very necessary, you know, so that it causes some control out of the chaos. But at the same time, these rules need to be evolving if you're seeing problems with these areas. You know, it's like, if you continue to see an issue because of a rule, then maybe the rule is the problem. It's not, you know, the people breaking this rule. It's like, how do you work with this, you know?
Yeah.
But some people can't because, again, it's like they're not willing to put in that extra work that it takes because they just are fine with the status quo of being content.
And, yeah, yeah. And, like, I don't know. Like, what... There's so many... Like, you see the people at the top, like, amassing, like, these great amounts of wealth. It's like... Why do you need more money? Like, yeah. you really don't. And then there's, like, people that are, like, killing themselves just to get enough. They just want to live. Like,
it makes me think of, like, okay, so, like, I'm not attacking the gaming community because I understand that gaming is fun and it's a good use of time. But at the same time, it's like, what is a high score doing for existence? You know, like, you work 7 years or 20 years of your life, and you become the best at this one game, right? Like, okay, well, what does that do? Like, how many people are actually going to be affected by that? Like, how many people are going to see it? You know, like, it's kind of the same thing with money. It's like, you can brag about it online and be like, yeah, I'm the best, like, let's say Overwatch. I'm the best Overwatch player in the world. You know, that's kind of like a billionaire saying, like, I'm the richest billionaire. You know, like, I have more money than you. You know, like... it's just a unique level of circumstances, you know? But I would say that gamers work even harder to get these high scores than billionaires work to make the money because they're not making the money. It's the workers, you know? They're,
yeah, yeah.
They're built on the backs of the people.
Yeah, that's... Oh, that pisses me off so much.
And what pisses me off more than that is the people who fall for that don't believe that at all. They're like, no, these billionaires, they work from the bottom up. And it's like, no. No billionaire has ever done that, you know, like, I can't say no billionaire,
but yeah,
anyone who has money is usually from someone who had an ability to where, like, someone helped them pay for college, you know, or something like that. Like, it's very rare that someone actually comes from nothing and works their way up. Our society doesn't allow that, and the people who are in charge don't want to see that because it puts them to shame, you know? And then there's, like, unpaid internships, which is basically just, like, a system built to weed out poor people so that they can give these positions to their rich sons and daughters, you know.
And yeah, and that's the thing that, like, always kind of got to me about college, because, you know, I was at U of H for, like, a couple semesters, and then I switched to HCC and did film production. But, like, you know, when I was at U of H, it's just like a weird, like, seeing people, like, in college, but not really learning anything.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even caring about, like, what they're like. Like, I want to care about, like, what I'm learning. I want it to, like, influence me or whatever, and not just, you know, learn something for a test and then forget it. You know, that sort of, like, thing. And, like, even, like, writing essays. Like, I wanted to care about what essays I was, you know. And then there's other people that just, like, oh, I just said some bullshit.
Yeah,
and I
last passed. Minute shit, you know, I was partying all the time. I would say 7 times out of 10, maybe, you know, like, that's just a ballpark guess. When I talk to someone who went to college and studied, a subject, most of them, like, don't even do that thing anymore. They, like, just have this degree that they went and, like, now they have this piece of paper that they can, like, use for when they're getting a job, you know, like, but it's like, hey, what was your thesis in? And it's like, oh, something that, like, isn't even a part of my life anymore. It's like, wow, you, like, you went to college for all this time, and then your thesis, the thing that you're supposed to just be like, I want to talk about this, you don't even care about it anymore? It's like
you go into debt just to get this thing, and it's just like, you, I don't know. Yeah.
And so that it just divides that class warfare, you know? It's like...
But like, we still, like, put these people on a pedestal. Oh, you finished college. Oh, you got a PhD. Oh. And it's like... But, like, what do you know? What do you know, and what do you do with your knowledge?
Yeah, I completely agree. And something that I can experience personally, that I've experienced over the last year, now that I have all this experience, like, hands-on experience through all the art and all the projects I do, like, through Drawbook, like, I've literally met thousands of people. It's, like, it's a crazy sociology project, you know? Like, and I've learned so much through, like, literally just involving myself with the people that is hands-on experience. But when you, like, you can't apply that to a job, like... People don't... Companies don't accept that.
Yeah.
When I talk about this with people, everyone is like, wow, that's impressive. Like, holy cow, you know, like, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you show that to a business and they're just like, okay, you know, like, where's your college degree? It's like...
But yeah, you understand people on like a whole new level.
Yeah.
Like that,
it's like, you put me in a manager position or something like that, I'm going to boost your team building or your guest relations by like a tenfold. You put, like, someone with this college degree, they don't know how to talk to people. You know, like, you see the difference there?
Yeah.
So it's difficult. That's America. And so, personally, it's like, this is what I'm trying to do about that. You know, like, continuing to talk with people, get more ideas, and then the more connections you make, the more that... in my funk theory, essentially, the more that you open yourself up to the funk and connect with it through each other and everything, the more that the funk guides you in the path that you need to be. And so, like, literally, like, just by reaching out and talking to someone, say that you're, like, trying to get back into school, you know, and you don't know what to study, and then suddenly sit down next to someone and you just strike up a conversation, and this person just so happens to, like, be in the field that you're interested in, you know, and they're like, oh, wow, I can hook you up with this, like, school, or you can Google this thing. That happens every day. It's there right in front of us, you know. It's hard to connect with it. And the society that we live in makes it difficult because, like, many of our leaders don't want us communicating. They want us to be silent because, like, in systems of oppression, the goal is disconnection. And discommunication, you know, like, they don't want you communicating with each other and empowering each other or educating each other, because an educated person is your biggest enemy, essentially, at that point. But we need to do that. And so what I'd like to do here in Houston is try to raise funds for, like, an arts community center where, like, people can just come and teach each other for free, you know, like, have free classes, have a place where you can come and just hang out all day and just draw with people or make art, you know, like, have, like, art rooms, like, that you can rent out, or study rooms or conference rooms. You can have improv classes, a small theater, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I haven't seen anything like that really ever. And I think it would just be such a successful thing, you know, like anyone could come from anywhere over the world and just learn and hang out and meet people. Because, I mean, that's what changed my life.
Yeah, and it, yeah, that's one of the biggest things, especially in Houston, is, like, unlike, you know, other major cities, like, we don't have, like, we're so spread out, there's, like, no, like, central location for, like, any, like, we're just, yeah, we're all just spread out over the city, and, like, nobody wants to go to, but there's no one place where you can go to, like, meet up with other,
just,
you know,
hang out and be yourself. Yeah, and that's a big problem we see with today's. Like, I saw a post the other day that was basically like, adults are always complaining that kids aren't going outside anymore, and then it showed a picture of just the outside that all these adults built. You know, it's like, there is no place to go outside. There's nowhere to go hang out. And then when you do go and hang out, suddenly it's a problematic, and you get the police called on you or something like that, or someone's like, hey, you kids can't be here. It's like, well, then where the hell do we go? And that's when kids or anyone gets into trouble, you know, because, yeah, like, and so I just feel it's my duty to help out with that and just, like, what? Involve the community. Like, let's come together and, like, let's make this area of where we can go and just be there with each other and then change the world through that. So we'll see where it goes, because, I mean, like, it's both up to me and not up to me, you know? It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have the drive. Now I just need to find the people who can help me execute that, like, just donors and everything.
Yeah, just keep putting that energy out there,
yeah,
man.
Just manifest it. And so now I'm looking into, I think what I'm going to start doing is, I just went through last night, like a few hours, I found this website that like has this huge list of artist grants that are just, you can just apply for.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm just going to start applying for like every grant that I feel that I apply for, and just, again, continue to try to raise myself up as a recognized artist until people finally are just like, yeah, I support this guy, you know, like, I'll send you money because I see this money's going to good places, because all the money that comes into my art goes back into either my art or into people that can, you know, like, like album cover commissions, you know, or anything. And I just want to continue to do that and just fund projects and make art exist and change people's lives, because that's the biggest thing that I see, is just like, I see people wanting to do these things, but the world that we live in, just like, it's so hard and difficult to do it because you're working all the time.
It's always just like I want to do this, but like, I gotta make money.
Yeah, and when you have the money, you don't have the time, and when you have the time, you don't have the money.
Yeah,
and so it's just like, we need this balance. We need to be there for each other and like helping each other, because like a big thing that I see, and I still haven't coined a term for it, but like there's something that I see in society where it's like, it's not suicidal and it's not depression, but it's the thing that leads up to that. It's that feeling of like, I'm stuck or I'm lost or I'm, you know, anything. It's like, I don't feel welcome here. And so then that leads to isolation, that leads to depression, you know, and that leads to thoughts of just like, I don't want to be here, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't have a word for it yet, but I bet there's like some German word for it or something out there of like just that feeling, you know? Because again, I think a lot of the times that is suddenly just diagnosed as depression or suicidal behavior, when really it's not. Really, it's just the environment that you're putting.
Yeah, like a lot of it is just, just being aware that like you're in this shitty situation that's beyond your control.
Yeah.
And it's like, just being aware of that is just like, in itself, just a burden almost.
It's like helpless. You feel helpless, you know? And so like, I'm trying to, you know, again, just trying to work with people, because one day I'm just going to be talking about this with someone and they're going to just throw out this word and it's going to be like, wow, that's perfect. You know, like,
the closest thing I can think of is like these two French words is like ennui.
Yeah.
And malaise, I think, is kind of like a boredom or like, you know, kind of general, just, bleh.
Yeah, you're right. Ennui like, is pretty close.
Yeah.
Something Beth mentioned yesterday on the podcast was, there was this test that they did with people about boredom, where like you can either sit there for 10 minutes and be bored, or you can shock yourself. Right? And most people chose to shock themselves.
You guys want to eat anything?
No, I'm all right, but thank you.
Bye.
Oh, that was very kind. But yeah, isn't that crazy that, like, the society we live in, people would rather just, like, shock themselves. It cause pain to just feel
something.
Yeah. And not just, like, be sitting there with themselves. It's like, you can't... They're, like, so uncomfortable with just, like, themselves or the environment that it's just, like... fuck it!
It's like, existence is already a pain, so...
And a way I would put it is, and you, do you know Rahul Rao?
Yeah, yeah.
So, he disagreed with this, so I'd like to hear your thoughts, but, like, where I'm at currently, and this is absolutely subject to change, but it's like, it seems that the gift of existence is life. And so there's existence, and there's things that exist, you know, and then all, throughout all existence, suddenly life, you know, formed. Over 13.8 billion years since the Big Bang, now we have life that we know of here on Earth, right? And so existence gifts life, but a penalty of life is suffering. Because those that are alive and conscious, are they know what it's like to suffer. If things that just exist before life don't know what suffering is. Because a meteor hitting a planet, that's not neither good or bad. It just is. It's just something that happens, you know. Or something being sucked into a black hole, or a sun exploding and killing that entire galaxy, you know. That's not suffering. It's just natural. But... now, let's say that our sun explodes and kills all of humanity. That is absolutely suffering to us. But that's only because we're alive to experience it. And this suffering, like, if we weren't to have suffering, it's kind of paradoxical that suffering teaches us what it's like to not suffer. Like, we can't enjoy the good things without suffering, you know? Because if we didn't suffer, then things would just kind of be... they would just be, you know?
Yeah,
we wouldn't
yeah.
know what it's like to have joy, because there wouldn't be no opposite to that. What's been on what's been on your mind lately?
I guess. In a weird way, I kind of... I've kind of come to terms with having, like, a shitty job, like, working as a... just a cashier at a gas station.
Oh, man. And like, that's trauma. I would say that's trauma.
No, I... There's... actually, there... in general, like, I hate it, but, like, there's little things in it that I enjoy.
Yeah.
But for one, just like the perspective of, I don't know, it's like, for one thing, like just seeing how retail works from like the side of like the employee is something I think is an important thing to have, especially because I see a lot of people that don't.
You know,
that,
yeah.
You know, the people have never worked retail, never been in those kind of positions.
And they treat you like shit.
I mean, it's usually not, you know, not everybody's like that, but it's like, but just seeing how people have certain expectations when they come to a store, like, you know, I don't currently work in fast food, but, you know, I worked at a pizza place and stuff like that, and, like, we're... at the gas station, we're like by the McDonald's or whatever. So like I'm near it and I see it, you know, they're always busy. You know, the line is always, you know, super long because it's McDonald's and people don't have anything else to eat but McDonald's, you know, like they don't, you know, but
it's,
you know,
that,
that's,
fast.
Yeah. It's like, I understand it, but at the same time, I know it sucks to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks. And then, you know, but you still see people that are mad and complaining about their food. And then I also see that like, oh, somebody didn't show up to work and, you know, when somebody doesn't show up to work, it just makes it shitty for everybody at work.
And so, like, what these companies, I wish they would realize is that, like, if you give these employees a living wage and make them want to be there, then you will thrive. You won't have these issues that you are constantly having of people calling in sick or, like, not wanting to be there. Like, give them 15 to 18 an hour, and like, and I swear to you,
I know. And like, then on top of that, like people like shit on like those employees, like in the first place, they like, you know, like they talk about, you know, oh, flipping burgers at McDonald's, like, you know, as like the lowest, you know, totem pole, like,
oh,
as, like,
it's so easy. Or, no, you as a customer make this difficult.
Yeah, and it's like, but like we like as a society like look down on those positions, but everybody goes for fast food and just expect fast food. Like who's gonna work there if everybody, if you think, if you make society think like, oh, these people are like,
are the lowest of the low,
or they're like not, you know, not applying themselves. But at the same time, like you see like a good manager like in those kind of situations is like really hard to find, because like there's so many that are just poorly run and that sort of thing. But even when you get a good manager, is like they, you know, the situation that they're in is like not, you know, you like you're killing yourself to like to do good, to make a difference, like for your workers, you know, try to help them out or like make it run smoothly, make it enjoyable. But at the same time, like your employee, like it's basically like a factory where it's just like
the company.
Everybody's replaceable.
Yes,
and it's just like you can't.
And see that right there is the problem, and so it's like, instead of being like everyone's replaceable, because it's like what it is like companies want you to be replaceable so that they can hire the next guy and pay them lower. Like instead of giving out raises constantly and paying more, like they want to bring it back down to zero, you know, so their fiscal numbers are showing profits. But like, again, if we built this environment where people didn't want to leave and you're paying them well, like, your business is just going to thrive forever, because then you just become family, you know, and you're all just taking care of each other and having each other's backs. A thing that I see, and what you mentioned earlier, being like kind of just accepting your job at a gallery, at a gas station, a huge thing I see is just like people succumbing to the, oh, this is just the way it is kind of mentality. You know, it's like, because again, you're put through so much stress that it's just like you give up. You're essentially just like, I'm done. I'm done fighting the machine. I'm done, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you can't give up. You can't say this is just the way it is, because it's like, that is when it becomes just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in the sense that, like, I don't. Like, I can do the job well, like, compared to, like, other people. Like, I'm good at what I do.
You're competent.
Yeah. I'm and just from, like, and all, and that's the thing. Like, all of it is, like, was never taught to me. It's all from experience. Yeah. Like, I'm, when I, like, I've gotten to where I'm good with the customers, and I'm good with, like, working the register, and I'm good at, you know, stocking and, like, keeping all these things, like, going at once. And then at the same time, like, I see, like, you know, they're, when they hire a new person, like, none of, you know, none of that is taught to them. And it's like, they're just kind of like,
you know, it's like they set you up for failure.
Yeah. So, and it, you know, and, but just, you know, just being aware of that I'm in this position where I can do good, like, even though, like, you know, still not getting paid what I'm worth or whatever, but yeah, being able to do it well is, you know, having a, like a sort of satisfaction in that, I guess. And then just finding like the little, just like the little moments that are enjoyable, I guess. You know, you just see weird things, and you see all these, especially, it's so weird to me seeing people come in regularly for like the same thing, like every day.
Yeah.
Every day the same thing. Every day the same thing. It's weird. Like being on the other side is like, oh, this is a part of your life that you like are not gonna give up. And then just like, even from like the retail perspective, like, oh, the price has gone up on these, just because they can raise the price.
Oh, man.
And, like, literally, I've had, like, my boss, like, tell me to go across the street to the other gas station, write down the prices that they have, and, like, bring them back. And it's just, like, and then, like, literally, next day, somebody comes in, oh, you guys used to be cheaper than across the street. Now you guys are the same price. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, what makes the price of gas? Like, who decides it? It doesn't fucking matter. It's all just a way for them to make money.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's like people playing the lottery. Like that fucking blows my mind.
Oh man, so much money just thrown away. People think
they're gonna fucking win. They're not gonna win.
Yeah.
They spend like around Christmas time, they're spending like hundreds of dollars on fucking lottery tickets. You're not gonna win.
It's and then
like
addiction.
When you win, it's like $2-3 and yeah. they get excited for like the little bit that they get, and it's just like. And it's like, from my perspective, it's like, it's a way for the business to make money. They don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah,
like, they don't care. They'll raise the prices. You know, like cigarettes, you know, the price that's listed is if you buy two cigarettes. And, like, it's higher if you just buy one cigarette.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they make you think that you're... And then, you know, they'll complain about the prices, but you're addicted. So, fuck you. You're going to buy them anyway. And like, that...
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's what it is. Like... It's crazy, man.
Same with the pink tax and like just how women's products are so expensive because they know women are going to buy them or they need them, or like feminine hygiene products, you know, like tampons and stuff.
Like why? It was like you could make it easier for people, but no, because you can make money.
Because profits.
That's the problem with capitalism. It's just like when you can make profits just because.
Yeah.
Just because you can make more money, like that's when it gets to be a problem.
When I was delivering at Jason's Deli, like one of the last, it was like shortly before I left the position, they raised their prices a good amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us all the employees, they gave us these papers on what to say to people. They asked like, "Why did you raise these prices?"
Oh no!
And the answers were like, well, we haven't raised our prices in this amount of years, so it's just time. There was no real reason for it except we want more money and you're gonna pay it because you want Jason's Deli.
Oh, you like Jason's Deli? Okay.
Yeah, here, pay some more money. Also, the delivery, they had like a $8 delivery fee.
Oh.
And none of that money came back to the drivers. So it's just like, it was bullshit, you know? Like,
yeah.
The society we live in, the society that's been built for us.
But yeah, the fact that people still like try to defend like these things, that is like, no, like,
it's because they think that they have a chance to be on that side.
Yeah.
And if we destroy that, then it's like they'll never reach that. But
it's like we're more on the same level than, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
and the goal is for it to raise all of us up, not for what we have now, to where only a few people are up there and all of us are down there below it.
Yeah.
It's to where, let's all be up there. Let's all celebrate each other. But people are so divided. And
yeah. And like, I guess like the weirdest thing is like seeing people that just want to be rich, just to be rich, to like not do anything, like
to hoard it.
Like just to have like great amounts of what, like, to me that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, it's
like
selfishness.
Yeah, I if I have money, I want to do stuff with it. Like, I want to, you know, I want to like live nice or whatever, but like I don't want extravagance. Like that, but like there's so many people that like just love extravagance just to have a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Just to have a bunch of shit.
If we were to tax, like, so I think it was before Nixon, or I can't remember which president, but basically, like, the wealthy, after the 1920s, the Great Depression, mm-hmm. the wealthy were, they got higher taxes, you know, and the lower class got lower taxes, you know, and it wasn't until, like, after things had stabled out that basically they changed the taxes to where, you know, rich people are paying less than the working class. And so, like, if we were to, like, go back to that system and, like, just raise taxes, I would say that, like, within months we could literally end world hunger, you know. We could literally like change our entire infrastructure with the money, the billions of dollars that are just being hoarded and being used on nothing. But like, they're just being like, no, you know, like. And so that's where a far left movement comes in, on seizing these, you know, like
the means of production.
Exactly.
But yeah, and that, yeah, that's the whole thing with like fucking investment and all that kind of stuff. Was like, it's like, it's like a weird way of making money from like nothing. And it's just like that to me, that's like a whole, there's like a whole art to like that, to make money from nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just the fact that it's not being used for anything productive other than, you know, for people to amass wealth.
And not just that, but once you reach a certain point, it's like, you put, let's say you have like $2 billion and you put that in like an interest account. Mm-hmm. You're basically like doubling your money, like in like every year, maybe, you know, like, or whatever, like,
yeah.
Probably raising just $1 million through interest, like every month. And it's just like, that's insane. It's like that $1 million could just like be spread out. You could save a town, like, you know, like.
It's like, I just want a fucking apartment for like, you know, a few a few hundred bucks a month, just a fucking.
That could be provided for, you know, like, but you know, all that money is in Switzerland.
Parking downtown, you know, have like a parking garage instead of these high rises, have like fucking paved roads, maybe.
Right? You know, like, literally this money.
Maybe a town, maybe a city that doesn't flood every fucking week.
Yeah. And, man, that's a huge thing that I'm not excited about with Houston in the next, like, 10
years. Like, there's, like, a whole, like, evil thing going on with, like, real estate and shit that, like, I don't know.
It's just, like, that message that ERCOT sent out recently about, like, hey, try to use less energy in the next few weeks when things are getting hot because we don't know if the Texas grid can handle it again. Because, just like in the freeze, when everything blacked out and shut down because... all the energy was out, you know. Yeah. They're saying the same thing, but now with the heat, they're like, "Oh, sorry, the Texas grid can't handle it." And it's like, why? Where is all this money going? Like, y'all have all the time in the world to solve these issues. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Out on the yachts, man. They're just like buying new clothes and going golfing, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same thing with society as, like, with people. Like, you gotta constantly try to improve it. Like,
yeah.
It's not always gonna be the same. It's gonna change, but you can change for the better if you want it to.
And also, what something that I don't think a lot of people realize is that, like, failure is a form of improvement. Like, not everything is always going to be successful. Like, you have to fail sometimes in order to see, oh, okay, this is what we don't do. You know, like, for example, the Thomas Edison and the light bulb. He failed 1,000 times before he invented what we know today as, like, the light bulb.
The biggest thing, though, is just to be able to understand, like, to go back and look at why did it fail.
Yes! Because if you
what
don't...
What do I need to change?
Yeah.
Because, you know, instead of, yeah.
Instead of focusing on, like, oh, this didn't work because of that, so let's not try it again. It's like, no, let's try it again and just not do that this time. Like, do something else. It's so stressful, man.
Yeah. See, that's what I love about art. It's like the one thing that you can make that you're in control of, and it's just, you know.
And it inspires others. And it's just the connection between art and reality is so significant. And the thing that I've been saying on the previous podcast is just like, consider an atom. It's like, you've never seen an atom, you probably never will see an atom, you know, but you've seen a drawing of it. And that's art. That's art influencing life, you know, like, and that's where surrealism came into play, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All these artists in the 40s and 50s were painting these images that, like, were never even considered. It's like, art used to be just like realist stuff, you know, like, or people. And then these people were suddenly just drawing shapes, you know, like, that made us think in a weird way. And then those weird shapes influenced more science, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the way you look at something is like, holy cow, now I understand black holes, suddenly, you know, like...
But yeah, and especially, that's what I'm saying about perspective, because, like, you know, classical art or whatever is all, like, linear perspective. It's all, like, this is the way things look in the real world, and then, you know, with cubism and stuff... It's like, oh, you can look at things from the same side, from
different
angles. It's like,
yeah.
Different perspectives all in, like, the same, you know. And just, like, playing with that. Like, understanding that you can see things from different perspectives. Like,
yeah.
that's really important.
Feeding into cubism, I watched, like, the MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, post some pretty educational, like, YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was this guy, like, teaching you how to paint, like, Pablo Picasso and what cubism is. And I never knew that, like, it essentially was just him, like, using an image, right? And then he would basically just stand in different spots. Like, he would either, like, raise himself up and then just paint sections of it from above, you know? And then, like, walk around to the other side. And so, like, what you're looking at when you look at a Pablo Picasso is basically just, like, it is this one thing. Just you're seeing almost every side of
it
at once, simultaneously. And that's so fascinating.
And just being able to apply that to like everything, like looking at history, like we look at it from like our perspective, like, you know, especially, you know, looking at wars or whatever from our perspective of like, but then, you know, think about it from like the perspective of like the person we're fighting. And
yeah.
Like, they're people living there. They have like, you know, they have a whole life like before and after, like, yeah. They and got they, obliterated.
They
like
probably
that's...
only hate us because we're fighting them. You know, it's like
yeah, it's like, oh, we blow up other countries and stuff. Like maybe that's why they don't like us. And, yeah,
it's funny because America is such a sees the means of production in other areas. It's like, oh, we're gonna come in and dip our fingers into everything. But then it's like when it comes to America's own problems, they're not willing to dip their fingers into their own country.
Yeah. It's like, why are we setting up democracies in other countries when we're fucked in our own?
It's because it profits them. It's just like a...
Yeah.
I can't remember what country it is, but essentially it's like Britain and the U.S. basically came in years ago and were like, hey, we're going to set up a democracy for you. We're going to help you pick who to run and who to lead, you know? And then they come in, they do that. And then they rig the elections to where some, you know, asshole, you know, comes into charge and is now more of a dictator. And basically, then they leave. They're like, all right, we'll see you later. Thanks for your oil and all these things, you know. And then that leader is basically buddy-buddy in with them. And it's like, let's rob your country and make profits for all of us. And America's done it so many times.
And
it's just like,
we have finite resources. Like, why are we doing this? Like... Like, it's not going to fuck us up later.
Because it's like, back in the past, I can understand how it was like, every man for themselves, you know? But now it's to the point where it's like, it literally does not have to be that way. Like, we literally have the resources and the money and the funds and the means to help every single, not even every single person, obviously literally every single thing on the planet Earth, like animals, you know? Like, we can be there for each other. It's just, it's being halted because, again, all this money is... in offshore accounts or...
Yeah, and I read about, like, half of our recycling, like, doesn't even get actually recycled.
Right?
It just gets shipped to fucking, like, China or some shit, and they just have, like, fucking landfills.
Yeah, or just dumping it into the ocean.
Just because it's too much money to actually recycle it. But it's like, there's ways that we can improve that, like, the technology for recycling, but, like... That's
and also
not
better education in recycling and how to do that.
Like fucking using fungus and mushrooms because like they're the world's like natural recyclers. Like that's all they do is like fucking recycle the planet and like you can train them to like recycle like other things.
It's like in other countries who have like heavy recycling systems put in place where it's like literally you have like 6 different trash cans, you know, and you have to wash all your recyclables and take care of them or you get fined. You know, like, it's like, why can't America do that? You know, it's like, make us be responsible. It's because modern America is just, it seems that they're just not going to unless we force them to do it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's a weird thing about America is, like, we have, like, this strict adherence to, like, these are the way thing, like, these are the certain rules that people should follow, but at the same time there's also these rules that we always break.
Yeah.
Like that's our thing is like
an example.
Like, oh, it doesn't apply to me or like not.
Yeah, an example I could give right now is like at the Manila, there's a no photo policy within the galleries, right? But you can take photos anywhere in the hallway. And that includes facing into the galleries. So like you can still take photos in the galleries, just not be in the galleries. But also, celebrities will come through. Like, Travis Scott came through recently and took a photo of one of the pieces in Antiquities.
Uh-huh.
And also, some of the artists came through and were taking pictures in their own art. And so they were, like, throwing all these flowers around. And now we've had people come in wanting to do the same thing. They're like, oh, why can't I take a photo? I saw Travis Scott take this photo, yada, yada.
Are you Travis Scott?
Yeah, but it's
but
like...
also, it's like...
Yeah, right? It's like, where does that line cross? You know, like, we give privileges to some, but then some, you don't have that privilege. And it's just such a sticky gray area. Well, man, it's been about 54, 55 minutes. You got any last things to say before we...
One thing I realized that being in a gas station is I'm basically a legal drug dealer. Like, that's...
Dude, hell yeah, man.
All I do is, like, I... all I do is sell drugs, but like I don't make as much money as if I was an actual drug dealer.
Yeah.
Like I'm making like, cause that's the thing. Like the people who own these companies, they're the ones making the money because they know, oh, these people are fucking addicted.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make money off of them. They're drug dealers.
And then they incarcerate actual drug dealers.
Yeah, and it's just like they're the ones that are actually doing that just so they can feed their family. You know, just, you know, they're just trying to make a business, make a living. You know, it's for their, you know, living. That's how they live. And then, like, these other people, it's like, you don't have to do that to live. Like, you're not in that position.
Yeah. And I would say alcoholism is one of the worst. Alcoholism and cigarettes. Two of the worst addictions, man.
Yeah.
They get your soul. They get your soul, and then, like, you can't escape it.
But it's like, oh, this addiction is okay because it's okay, but those drugs are bad. These drugs are okay because why?
Yeah, it's
because,
like,
oh, there's companies behind them. There's no companies behind them, so they're not good. Companies are good.
Yeah.
Support companies.
Like Marlboro or any alcohol company. Oh. It's like, it's legal to sell alcohol and let people get drunk and messed up and make mistakes, but you can't have people smoking weed. Even though weed is now legal in many states, it's now ridiculous that people are getting arrested still while there's other states people are just running around free. Like, in, I would say alcohol is way worse than marijuana, but, like, alcohol is legal. And we see it ruining people's lives.
Ruining every family.
Yeah.
Families. Like, countless, like, fucking, it's, yeah.
There's so many people that it's like, we live in a system where it's like all, it's like you work and then it's like there's not many places to go, so you just go out and you drink. You spend the hard-earned money on overpriced drinks, you know.
Yeah.
And then you just do it again. You wake up, you do it again. We need to escape these means, man. And I think this is where it starts. And hopefully we can get out of it. But yeah, any last words?
I think There is hope, probably.
Yeah, there is hope. There is. There absolutely is, and we just need to work for it. And we never.
It's hard, but it's not impossible.
Exactly. We just need to be there for each other. It's just like in A Bug's Life, when the ants finally realize that if they work together, they can beat the grasshoppers, man. That's what we need to do.
Like they told us this in the fucking movie, and we're still just like,
It's like, no, we're still ants. Oh no, we can't fight the grasshoppers. Just we freaking can. There's more of us than there are them. And yeah, they have the means to, like, definitely do some damage if we were to, you know, fight back. But we are overwhelming, and we will overcome, and we will rise together. And Ryan, I really appreciate you being on. You got any plugs before we go?
No, man. Just follow me on Instagram. I'm Ryan McGee. RyanMcGhee.
And your Cash App, that's CRyanMcGee.
CRyan. CRyanMcGhee.
Well, awesome. Ryan, thanks for being on, and everyone, thank you for listening. Love you.
Love you too.